I'd like to thank you for making the choice to get up this morning and remembering the Lord's Day and to glorify God and to encourage the rest of us by your mere presence here. It's an encouragement to me at the very least. It's easy to let life affect us and complain about the things that we don't like. And so sometimes it's good for us to reflect upon history and see what those that come before us endured, that we might be a little more appreciative of the true blessings that we really do have. And in that regards, I'd like to read this clip I took several years ago out of the paper. Said, did you know that for much of history, the Bible was available only in Latin, a language the common people had no hope of learning? For salvation, they needed to go through religious middlemen. Pope Innocent III declared in the year 1199, the secret mysteries of the faith ought not to be explained to all men. An Oxford scholar, John Wycliffe, helped publish the first English translation in 1382, prompting an archbishop to call him the very herald and child of the Antichrist, who crowned his wickedness by translating the scriptures. And in 1525, William Tyndale made partial translations in France and had them smuggled into England, and he was burned at the stake for doing so October 6, 1536. But demands for the translations only grew, and King James, reacting to sloppy translations, authorized the version that bears his name, which was first published in 1611. We occasionally make reference to the Dark Ages. That was the Dark Ages, where you had no access to what the written word was, but depended entirely upon somebody telling you what the Word of God was. So if nothing else today, be thankful for the written Word in your own language. Now I have two questions I need to ask. The first one I'm going to direct to anyone under 20 years old, of a saying that comes from the past, and see how many of you understand it. What is meant by the old-time saying of don't judge a book by its cover? Anybody under 20 want to speak up? Anybody else? What does it mean, don't judge a book by its cover? Can a book cover look kind of nasty? And it can turn you off because of its appearance. But inside, it may be a gem. So, the reference from the generation gone by of using this is the fact that when you meet somebody new, don't judge them by their outward appearance. Get to know them. And I'd like to give you an example of what a mistake one person made in doing the opposite. This is a true story written by Malcolm Forbes. A lady in a faded gingham dress and her husband, dressed in a homespun threadbare suit, stepped off the train in Boston and walked timidly without appointment into the Harvard University president's outer office. The secretary could tell in a moment that such backwoods country hicks had no business at Harvard and probably didn't even deserve to be in Cambridge. They said, we'd like to see the president, the man said softly. The secretary replied, he'll be busy all day. The lady replied, we'll wait. For hours, the secretary ignored them, hoping that the couple would finally become discouraged and go away, but they didn't. And the secretary grew frustrated and finally decided to disturb the president, even though it was a chore she always regretted. "Maybe if you see them for a few minutes, they'll leave," she told the president. He sighed in exasperation and nodded. Someone of his importance obviously didn't have the time to spend with them, and he detested gingham dresses and homespun suits cluttering up his outer office. So the president, stern-faced and with dignity, strutted towards the couple. And the lady told him, "We had a son who attended Harvard for 1 year, and he loved Harvard. He was happy here, but about a year ago he was accidentally killed. My husband and I would like to erect a memorial to him somewhere on campus." The president was not impressed. He was shocked. "Madam, we can't put up a statue for every person who attended Harvard and died. If we did, this place would look like a cemetery." The lady says, "Oh no, we don't want to erect a statue. We would like to give a building to Harvard." The president rolled his eyes and he glanced at the gingham dress and homespun suit the two were wearing and exclaimed, "A building? Do you have any earthly idea how much a building costs? We have over $7.5 million in the physical buildings here at Harvard." And the lady was silent. And the president was pleased. Maybe he could get rid of them now. The lady turned to her husband and said quietly, "Is that all it costs to start a university? Why don't we just start our own?" Her husband nodded, and the president's face welded in confusion and bewilderment. And Mr. and Mrs. Leland Stanford got up and walked away, traveling to Palo Alto, California, where they established the university that now bears their name. Stanford University, a memorial to their son that Harvard no longer cared about. You can easily judge the character of others by how they treat those who they think they can do nothing for them. So when you encounter people that, from the outward appearance, seem to be lower social class than you, you may be wrong. And even if they are, they may be higher inner class than you, if that's the way you treat people. And so, as it is with books, don't judge a person by what they are wearing. We don't always know as much as we would like to think we do about others. We don't know the problems every person in this room is dealing with. We don't know the degree of the blessings that you've been given. And we don't know why maybe you have been withdrawn lately if you don't share. If we only have time for someone if we think they are useful to us in some fashion, what will be our fate in the judgment day if God uses our logic to judge us? Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 1 and 2 tell us that by whatever judgment we use upon others will be used upon you. So be careful in making your decisions on just what a person really is. Now my second trivia question is open to anyone. About 35 years ago, someone gave a lesson here, and the title of their lesson was, "If you don't feel as close to God as you used to, guess who left?" I don't remember if I've asked this question before or not, but does anybody remember who they think may have given that lesson? Does anybody remember the title of the talk that was given last week? It's not normal that we always remember the title of every lesson. And once in a while, somebody says something that sticks with you. Maybe it never made an impression on you, but for different reasons, things stick with us. Anybody want to take a shot at it? Nope. All right. Many times distractions may make it hard for you when you're in the audience to remember last week's lesson, let alone something that happened years ago. But when a talk does stick in your mind, sometimes it can be a help to you for a long time. I only worked with Larry George for 4 years, but I not only worked with him, part of that time I also rode to work with Larry George. Larry George gave that talk. And I had only been married less than a year. Joyce was pregnant with Randy, and we had one car. So without Larry George giving me a ride to work, Joyce couldn't leave the mobile home that we lived in on the south edge of Pleasant Hill. And so Larry offered to take me to work so she could have a car. And during that 4-year period, I watched Larry go through some very stressful times. At one point, I think I even remember him taking himself off of the program for doing certain things because of his stress level. And when we as speakers pick our topic, quite often it is oftentimes directed at ourselves because of something that we are dealing with ourselves. And I don't remember the particular time when Larry gave this talk, whether that could have entered into his decision to give it, but because of my closeness to Larry and the point that I thought he placed well in his talk, that when we don't feel as close to God, it's not because God left. It's because we have wandered away on our own. All of us have stressful times in life and often wish we could go back in time and make a different decision that is causing that stress that we're dealing with in the present. And even though Larry George went through some stressful times, Larry weathered the storm. And he did not grow weary in well-doing, as we're warned in Galatians, the 6th chapter and verse 9, that through the course of life, sometimes we can start off strong and the problems of life wear us down. And it's drawing strength from our brothers and sisters in those times, as well as reading the scriptures and leaning on the Lord for help, that will pull you through those times. I think when we remember Larry now, we remember the man who got to retire. I call it semi-retiring because Larry never did really retire. He was always doing something. And Larry helped others. But when he was able to retire from his full-time job, it just seemed to me like the last 5 years that he just acted like a lot of his load had been lifted. And he was able to enjoy his grandkids. And I will never forget how he would often start his prayers. Good morning, Heavenly Father. We thank you that things are as well with us as they are. Anybody ever remember Larry saying that? Kelly made mention of it a while back when he was up here. And 35 years ago, when I watched Larry in his time of stress, I don't remember him making that prayer. But as he grew through his problems and matured, he was able to get to where he could say that prayer. And you could tell it came from the heart. When I started working with Larry, that was 39 years ago. And I had no idea then that his life would still be touching me now, 6 or 7 years after he's dead. So you don't know the impact that the things that you say and the things that you do, or the things that you choose not to say or not to do, will have on those that you have daily interactions with. You can have a good impact or negative. And it's up to you to decide how you want to interact with those around you. But don't underestimate the impact that you are having just from your daily routines. The thing that amazes me, along with what Larry had impact on me working, is that not only by knowing Larry during his life, but now sharing life's experiences with his sons and with his grandchildren. Rodney has got to know one of Larry's grandchildren, Tanner, pretty well, and they're very close friends and really appreciate each other. And I'd like to apologize to Kelly for not making the devotional he had lined up yesterday, but as I made mention earlier, none of us really know what's going on in everybody else's life. And I brought up about Larry, and because I witnessed the storm that he went through and how he persevered through it and kept the faith. I feel like I owe you people an explanation for what's been going on with me. It seems like every year it's a new storm. But it did keep me from attending a single night of the VBS. And I wasn't able to be at Kelly's devotional that he had arranged for yesterday. And I've had a combination of things happen this spring that have made it difficult again. With the winter that never seemed to end, we went right in since the 8th of April. We've had 20 inches of rain, and I'll bet you went to work every day in spite of that rain. Well, I wasn't able to, and so I had a hard winter and then a hard spring, followed by my longest-term contractor gave me 3 bad checks for over $35,000. And made me max out my line of credit to stay in business. And so anytime it wasn't raining, including through VBS, I had to be working. And if that has been a distraction to you and affected you, I apologize for any negative impact that that has had. But I don't have an 8-to-4 job. And so I am impacted by other things, and I think there are times when it's good that we not keep everything to ourselves, that we not be a discouragement to others simply because they don't know why we are withdrawn or changed or whatever. And I'm hoping that I can follow Larry's lead and break the bitterness that this experience has caused, because I haven't been a good example to non-Christians. Well, I've been dealing with this. I haven't been a light, at the very least, that would make anybody want to be like me. And that's when, this past week, I felt like Larry had reminded me to be careful. That if you don't feel as close to God as you used to, no matter what the problem or storm in life is that has caused it, guess who left? The Lord didn't cause it. I allowed the world to affect my appearance that I have to others. And bitterness will eat you up. And this storm that I've been going through has caused me to have weeks where I've ended up working 6.5 days a week. And I ran across another article that I thought I should share in that regard. I'm a member of the Better Business Bureau, and they had sent me this flyer. So I'd like to read this story to you. The first Fairway store opened for business in May of 1938 in Boone, Iowa. And although Fairway Stores Incorporated has today grown to become one of Iowa's largest employers, they continue to embody the quintessential small-town grocery store by embracing those proud Midwestern values, culture, and sense of community. The chairman and CEO explained the origin of Fairway's long-standing policy of being closed on Sunday. He says, "My great-grandfather was a pioneer who traveled to the new territory by wagon train." And those of you younger ones, if you haven't studied it, wagon trains were always pulled by horses or oxen or cows. And some of the pioneers were in a great hurry, so they drove on every day, leaving behind those who stopped for a day of rest and worship. Weeks passed, and as the settlers continued to move westward, the families who had taken Sunday off began to catch up with those who had pushed ahead and traveled on Sunday, to find out that they had broken down wagons, lame animals, and weary people. My great-grandfather told my grandfather that he decided right then and there that the Bible was right. Neither man nor beast was made to work 7 days a week. And those that tried to travel on the Lord's Day and pursue found out that the beast as well as the people needed a break. So when we get too far out of balance, life will make you bitter. Kelly has tried to talk to me several times in the last few months and remind me of different scriptures that come across his mind. And about Philippians, about things that we should think on when you read the scriptures and think on these things, it balances out the things of life. When we think about what ways we can be an encouragement to others, I think it puts a smile on everybody's face when they see Carson come up here and be a part of our meeting and make his presentation, and how his smile and enthusiasm makes us glad that we were here. And I hope today, as we bring this lesson to a close, that you were glad that you were here. And that perhaps through some of the stories of sharing of other life experiences that we've talked about, that you can remember Larry persevering through his storms of life. And always let the Lord know that he was grateful that he had the degree of health that he had and the blessings that he had. He thanks you. Dear Lord, we thank you that things are as well with us as they are. Think about your relationship with God as we bring this service to a close. That your relationship be well with the Lord as well. As we stand and sing.